I don't think these moments will ever grow familiar for me, when you set in place what God is doing and have the privilege of standing before a church that you love and don't often get to be with. But you've got to know we're praying for you often. I said to the eldership yesterday, many times you invade our prayers and my prayers daily. And there's a request by God to pray even when you haven't requested it. But the sense of seeing just how far God has grown you in your spiritual lives and in the eldership team and what he might do. Sometimes it helps to have someone from outside come and say, look what God's doing among you. Look what God's stirring you to. Look how much he's done. I know as a local church at Coastlands in Adelaide, we need that. But I'm here today to offer that opportunity. I want to say well done to the leadership team. Well done for leading faithfully, for engaging everything that God's called you to. And in these moments, remember that it's worth it. That these are the moments where you see the fruitfulness of God. For those who are in the family of God, I want to encourage you today. I'm going to bring a message to you about living life in abundance. About living life in abundance. And one of the things that's amazing to me about Jesus, and we're going to talk about him today, is that okay? Yeah, okay. He's fairly central to everything we do, hey? So we're going to talk about Jesus. And Jesus' name, and Jesus' walk, and Jesus' example, and Jesus' authority, that we see him as one who walked this out on earth. So when the path that we're walking is tough sometimes, it's hard, we're walking through things, it's great sometimes, we know that Jesus was able to experience all that we have walked through, and yet he walked it perfectly, making a way for us and an example for us. And one of the things he talks about in John chapter 10 is how both he is a shepherd, but also he was a follower. Did you know Jesus followed someone? Who did Jesus follow? The Father. That the Father, he was obedient to the Father. And he makes these really strong statements about who he is in light of the Father. So when he said to the church at the time, or the people of God at the time, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. He was talking about the life that he had experienced with the Father. He wanted us to have the life that he had. And when I say what sort of life or abundant life would you like, what do you think of? Maybe many possessions, maybe a big house, maybe easy life, an easy life, maybe. That's not what Jesus experienced. He experienced everything we experienced. He experienced having nothing. He experienced having hardship. And he didn't promise us an easy life. What he promises us is an abundant life. So what would Jesus be giving? We're going to hear a little bit today as we read through Scripture about what Jesus delivers to us. When he's talking about abundance, he's talking about an abundance of faith, an abundance of hope, even in hardship. He's talking about an abundance of love, even when we need to forgive sometimes. People have hurt us. He's talking about an abundance of a kingdom that's coming that's not maybe as we would think, but as he would think. So I want to commend you today that Jesus, who loves you, will lead you into pleasant places. But it's not always easy. The Bible says the way that we are actually to know that he's the good shepherd is he's the one who lays down his life for the sheep. So if you're looking for someone to lead you, look to someone who would lay down their life for you, right? This is what we're going to read through today. We would look to someone who's actually going to give their life for us. That's who I would trust. Now, when I was growing up, I grew up on a farm, okay? And a farm in Australia, many sheep. And so I got to watch how sheep and shepherds work together. And I noticed some things about sheep. And when I used to hear preachers talk about sheep, I was like, hang on, is this a compliment or not? But I knew some things about sheep as I grew up watching how they behave. Sheep love to follow. They love to be led. They love food. They really like food. And they love those who care for them. So the person who feeds them, they love the most. Okay? That's what sheep do. That's how they respond. And yet the Bible calls us the sheep of his pasture. And so because we love to be led, we can either be led towards Christ or we can be led astray easily. Either way, we're led. And I watch many sheep get led astray. And I've watched sheep get stuck on their own. And sheep need to be together. They think it's a really good idea. They'll run out into a paddock and then they'll be by themselves. And then they'll be like, hang on, where is everybody? And then they fret. They freak out. And so one of the things that I've noticed is that sheep need to be together, or they become distressed when they're alone, disorientated, lost when they're not led, and distracted and frightened by other voices than the voice of the shepherd. This is what Jesus is talking about, and he makes those big statements. I am the good shepherd. You saw that on the first slide. He says, I'm the good shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own. I know who my sheep are, and they know me. These are big statements, Jesus. Why would you say this to us? We understand that that's who you are. But what Jesus was making clear was he wanted us to follow the shepherd's voice and not a stranger. So let's read in chapter 7, verse 10, about the shepherd that Jesus is. He says, so Jesus said again to them, and he'd been talking to them because he'd just healed a blind man, and he was like, I need to explain what's going on here. There are those who've been calling to you to live in a certain way, and I'm calling to you to live another way. And so he's just opened the blind eyes of a guy, and then everybody's like, who is this? And he says, so Jesus again said to them in verse 7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who came before me are thieves and robbers. Wow. In comparison to Jesus, anyone who was calling his people was not able to claim anything other than being a thief or a robber. But the sheep did not listen to them. So the sheep only listened to the shepherd. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. If you are following a thief, then they're going to put you in a prison, right? They're going to put you in a place you can't come and go. But Jesus is with us. He draws us together. He is actually the gate. When it says he's the door, shepherds in that time, they would bring the sheep in at night, bring them into a protected place, and they would lay across the door. They would lay down across the door. They would guard the sheep with their own person. When Jesus says this, it's like, I am going to let you out when it's free to do so, and I'm going to protect you and keep you in, and nobody comes except if they come through this gate. Anybody climbs over the wall, they are not from me. You see, sheep are totally dependent on their shepherd for sustainment and each other for support. He knows they need to be together, but he also knows that they need sustainment and to be following in the right direction. So some facts. Who likes some facts? Truth. I was talking to a man the other day, and he used to be a police officer in Australia, and he said, I came to God on the evidence. You know, facts and truth. Who likes crime shows or police shows? Okay. He needs facts and truth. So some of you are like that today. Here's some facts about sheep and shepherd. Sheep love to be led and fed. Sheep need protecting from wolves and thieves. Sheep need, this is an interesting one, isn't it? Protection from themselves. Sheep will do things to themselves and one another that are not healthy. They need someone to help them, to look after them. But there's also in this verse and in this chapter, in the chapter we're reading, a lot about the Good Shepherd. And we need to know what a good shepherd looks like. Today, we're releasing shepherds in the church. Elders are referred to in the Bible as shepherds of the flock. And so we can know what a good shepherd looks like. He is the door that we enter through. If we come to church, we come to the Father, we come to anyone, in any other name other than Jesus, we know it's something else. It's Jesus' name that we come into this place of relationship with the Father. We choose that, and we choose Him. He knows each of you by name. Isn't that amazing? He knows you. And we know His voice. It's peace. It's powerful. We can follow it. He is the one who leads us to safe pasture because He loves us. And He is the one who gives us rest because He knows the place that is actually peace. He is the one who cares for us. He gives us hope in all circumstances. You know, imagine, you know, you're in a field, one of those sheep is in the field, and there's storms and wind and waves and all these things happening around them. And it feels like as long as they were with the shepherd, they were calm. He will know what to do. He will know where to lead us. There is a hope and a future. He intends for them to have abundant life. The link I wanted to make for you today is Jesus being the shepherd of your life is what results in abundant life. He's the only one who can give it, deliver it, and lead you into it. When we're looking for the abundant life, and I know in Australia many things are promised to us by many different people. You know, if you've got one of these devices we call a phone, there's a lot of promises that come through there. I will give you an abundant life. I will give you an abundant life. I will give you the best life. And what His church needs to remember and to know is there is one shepherd of our heart that will lead us truly into abundant life. He did not promise us an easy life. He promised us abundant life. And it is different. But He is the one we choose. He is the one who will protect us. He is the one who will guide us. Now we need to know also what thieves do. And what the scripture tells us is there's some facts about thieves as well. They come only to steal, kill, and destroy. Think about the full reality of what I've just read about shepherds. All that God brings you, this wholesome and good and kindness and freedom and peace and love and joy, even amidst circumstance. And then we see this. There's not many facts, is there, to remember. They come only to steal, kill, and destroy, and it will result in loss, separation, and death. So the church of God needs to be saying to people, we know the true shepherd. We know His voice. And God has put in place shepherds like Him on earth to actually lead us towards His voice and His truth. Not easy, but abundant. And I think that this scripture, and we're going to read a little bit more now, actually gives a lot of description about what God brings, and then very blunt and straightforward facts about what the enemy does. Anything that is of the enemy. So watch out which voice you're following, because we know what the voice of the shepherd does. In John 10:11-18, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I'm making this clear, he says. He who is the hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them in also, that they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I receive from my Father. In this second part of this chapter, Jesus is not only talking about the relationship that he has with his people, the sheep of his pasture, he's talking about the relationship a shepherd needs to have with the Father, with the one who owns the sheep. Now imagine a thief comes in, you've trusted, you've seen, that's steal, kill, and destroy. But now there's a hired hand, someone who's paid to love sheep, you know? And then they're like, yeah, this feels comfortable, it's good, they seem to be here to support me. But then when a wolf comes, when a situation comes, they run away. That is not what God has called us to. He's called us to be people to respond to the Father. The shepherd is given to the Father's heart and what the Father will do. But there is a relationship between the shepherd and the Father. You heard Jisu and A being commended towards their relationship with the Father. I don't know if we can pull that first slide up there, Brent. Can we pull the original first slide up? Just at the start. I love the image right back at the start, where it says abundant life. This picture of Jesus, the sheep following Jesus, and Jesus looking to the Father is an amazing image. Actually, I look to the Father and the sheep look to me. That's what he's saying. And this picture that we're accountable, we're responsive, we are family, that God wanted to bring us into the unity and that by the power of the Holy Spirit into the truth of what he was saying. But there's some facts about masters and shepherds, about the father and son relationship that we can remember. Because in your lives, you might be entrusted to shepherd people towards Jesus. You might be actually entrusted to steward what God has given you, your family, the people in your workplace, the people that he brings upon your path, to steward them towards Christ. And we're not to be looking at them or for another way. We look to Jesus and draw them to him. So when Jesus talks about his relationship with the Father, there's some facts about masters and shepherds that they are self-sacrificing. They actually will give their life for the Father. Jesus came and he gave his life. He laid it down. Yes, for us, but in obedience to the Father. And the shepherd knows that he's loved by the Father. He knows that the Master loves him. He knows that he's able to obey the Master with the same love for the sheep. We've got to take on the same heart the Father has. Sometimes we can look at people and we're like, oh, I wish they'd do the right thing. Imagine the Father God, if he just said, oh, you know, I wish Mitch would just start doing the right thing, you know? No, he doesn't do that. He says, I know Mitch. I know him by name. I know who he is. I know what I have for him, and I'm going to make a way for him. That's how our heart has to be towards people. Because there are those who are not yet in the flock, Jesus is saying. And so we know the Father's heart for us. Therefore, we know his heart for them. The shepherd's voice is known. It is heard by the Master. Because of the Master. He has authority. You know, when we come into the family of God, we suddenly know the Master's voice. So we can actually echo that to others. We can actually call to others to say, hey, this is who we're listening to, who we are walking with. Come and join us. The shepherd unifies the flock and brings all into the Father's care. Jesus wants to bring people into the Father's care. Sometimes when I've seen missions happen across the world, people want to do it all by themselves. They want to go out, they want to save everybody and bring them to what? To who? Like we run out of energy. We need them to come to the Father who has abundant provision for their life. We have a little bit of provision for their life, but he has abundant provision for them. So many people are like coming out and saying, God, I want to serve you. I want to give you this. I want to do this for you. But actually, God wants to do this for them. It's about a dependency on him. We want people to grow in dependency on him. We want to grow in dependency on him. It's actually a powerful place to live. When I saw Opal at the back and she had the little baby there that's only 7 months old, There's a lot of dependence there. A lot of dependence. And sometimes we think when we grow up, now I know what I'm doing, I'm going to go and do it. As if many of you had kids, that's a hard thing to watch. Because as soon as we think we know something, we are dangerous. We go and try to do something with it. It's okay now, Dad, I've got it. I understand. And sometimes we're like that with the Father. I've got it now, I've heard you. You know, I understand. Now I'm going to go and do it. And he's like, I want to do it with you. Jesus did nothing apart from the Father. And yet sometimes we want to go and do our own thing. I've got your word, God, I'm going. I'm going to do it. And then we run out of energy, we run out of love for people, we run out of everything that's needed. That's not the abundant life that Jesus is talking about here. He stayed with the Father, he listened to the Father, and he led people to the Father. And that's what we're called to do. And we know there's the hired hand who ran out on the flock, but we know that the shepherd is called to actually sacrifice and demonstrate love, no matter the circumstance, and to carry the authority of the Master. It's his name in which we love. So as those who might shepherd people, as those who might steward people towards Christ, Jesus was saying, I am your example. I know what others need, but I also know what the Father has for them, and it's abundant life. I don't want anything less than what God has for them. I will lead them to the Father. But for us today, I felt like God was talking and saying, be clear that Jesus is the door. Be clear, you're saying to me, for you, that Jesus is the one calling. Jesus is the door. And I know that there is so many doors of opportunity that come across our lives. They come ready to be opened up. And it's like, which door should I choose? Jesus is the door. Jesus is the one door that opens up a life of abundance for you. He is the shepherd. He will lay across the door of your life. He will protect you from what is not meant for you. And he will release you to exactly what he has for you. He is the door. So when you say, oh God, I've got, you know, might you say to one another, I've got many doors of opportunity, but I've chosen Jesus. He is the one who I walk with and walk through. The Good Shepherd is personally involved. He knows your person and he's personally involved. It's personal for Jesus. He hung on a cross carrying the weight of the sin and released the grace to each one of us, looking down the corridors of time and thinking about who we were and what God would want to do in our lives. He responds by opening the door. We respond by opening the door and receiving Jesus and walking into the life of faith that is abundant. Now this morning, Jesus is calling, as he always does, to his people, knowing that people are awaiting the opportunity to be the people of his pasture, or are knowing that they should be walking in this way. Love looks like something. His way is real. The Good Shepherd is personally involved, but he's also collecting and engaging those responding, those who are seeing, those who are following, like their lives depend on it. So many have just said, I believe in Jesus for what he can give me. But to follow Jesus is about inheriting everything that he has. Faith, hope, and love in abundance. There are many doors, just as there are many doors of opportunity to walk through, there are many voices calling to us in this time, demanding things from us. See, a little baby at the back there, see? That's what happens. I love how God just does it on cue, you know? He just says, you know, that's how you are sometimes. There's many voices crying out, but who we cry out to, who we depend on in the times when we're going through things, really defines who we are. You know, often I've heard it preached that, you know, it's when we're going through tough stuff, that's when people call on God. But it's also when we're going through tough stuff that God reveals the most to others. Because people are acquainted with loss and suffering and challenge, but the Ecclesiastes says that all of us, the righteous and the unrighteous, you know, the rain comes down on all of us. The struggles of this world come on all of us. But it's who we're walking with, and it's what we're carrying in those moments that comes out. He is the one who is true and not false. We get to respond to truth today and be set free. You know, it wasn't a once-off thing. I'm continually being set free by the truth of what Jesus has done. One voice is true. Hear that call. I'm even like praying today that the Holy Spirit would just silence all the other voices. Just dial them down. And that Jesus' voice, that as I'm speaking today, that the word would wash over you and your ears would become attuned to that one call of Jesus. That as you respond in belief, that you would follow. The sheep hear the call and they just follow. They know that that voice means abundant life. And every other voice cannot draw on them. One voice, one Jesus will save and sustain us. Respond and we get to know Him. He knows us, but we get to know Him. And He knows everything about us. Today, I really believe He wants to be the door of your life. He wants to be the only door of your life. He wants to be the only voice that you listen to. It won't be the only voice you hear, but the only one that you listen to and give your heart to and desire. Because He wants to guide you and grow you in health and in trust of what He's doing. So today He calls. Today, hear His voice. Hear that desire afresh. Maybe your ears have got a little bit overtaken. There's so much overwhelmed. Let the still small voice of the Holy Spirit draw you to the great shepherd of your life. Respond to His word, His voice, His leading. That's why we come together and encourage one another. So that we're like, am I hearing the right things? And as we come together, we hear together. And we're like, we are the sheep of your pasture, Lord. We are those who are responding. Pastorally, God sets in place leadership to help us define His voice, to help us define His call. If Jisoo and I hadn't had that conversation sitting at their table, Jisoo would still have things rattling around in his mind, all these questions. But we get to shepherd and guide. We get to sit there and have conversations. God, help me define what is the voice. You know? And we need one another. We need leadership. We need shepherds that are after God's heart. And I want to commend to you those who are here today, and they will be in the next service. I want to commend to you that these are the shepherds of the flock of One Light. And they are interested in seeing you find your full dependence in Christ, abundant life that He brings, that you would hear His voice, and that you would make Him the door of your life. Paul says, you know, that many have shipwrecked their life by following other voices and taking other opportunities other than what God says. So this is real. This is a big deal. And I believe God is bringing this to you guys today to remember, to sharpen, to detox from all the other voices and to make Him the door that your life engages. So how do we do this, Ben? What does it look like today? Listen. Listen. As the sheep of His pasture, we're called to listen. Listen for His voice this morning. Tune in to what He's guiding us to. That is what He's called us to do. Actually follow. Then lean into that voice. The Holy Spirit's voice that guides us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. Do you know that? If we sing about Jesus like we did this morning, Holy Spirit's like, I'm in. He joins the band. He's like, Luke's good, I'm better. I know how to do this. I know how to worship better than anyone. And He's right here. And He empowers Luke and He's right alongside him and He's right alongside of the band. But the Holy Spirit loves. If you want to see the Holy Spirit come in a meeting, just talk about Jesus. Just praise Him and He will be there because that is what He's all about. I want you to know what Jesus has done. And Jesus is all about the Father. I want you to know my Father because he has abundant life for you. If you follow me, if you follow my voice, if you walk in this way, you will have abundant life, though you face many things. Listen, follow, step confidently. This morning, this isn't a sort of a careful, carefully. This is a step. Stepping into, I'm confident in you, Jesus. I'm confident in what you're saying. I'm becoming not confident in myself, not confident in my thoughts, not confident in the world. I'm going to be confident in you. Confident in the path he leads us to. You might be saying, I can't remember anything Ben said, but I remember he said something about abundant life and that Jesus has it. So this, I always do this at Coastlands. I have one last slide for everybody who has been asleep. And then we go, this is what really matters. And I know that's not like one light. One light are all awake and very alert and ready. Listen, tune into the voice that Jesus is guiding us. Step confidently into the path that leads us. And then trust. But what? Hey, Ben, you've just asked me to listen and follow. Isn't that enough? Trust. Trust is to lean fully into this. Fully into Christ. Put all of your weight on him. Place your faith in his care and his protection always. What are we leaning on? When things get tough, where do you go for protection and care? Trust Jesus. Make him your only alternative to listen to, follow, and trust. Is Ben is able to come up? Is that okay, Dan? We can respond in that. Is it all right? Yeah. Thank you, Luke. Luke and the Holy Spirit are coming up to lead us. Because they love Jesus and they both want to see us walk in this. But the Spirit of God will lead your heart to this, to into listening. And maybe as we worship together, as we finish this, just let your ears be tuned. What is Jesus saying to me? And when you hear his call, step confidently into the place and lean into his heart for you. Because God has set that in place. All good? The Holy Spirit never has to plug in. He's always plugged in. He's ready to go. He's ready to go. But I just feel the joy of the Lord upon you this morning. The freshness of his Spirit. And his wanting to lead his people in the fullness and abundance of life that he has for you guys. Let's enjoy worshiping him, listening, trusting, following him.